Welcome to episode 33 of the Just Keep Spinning podcast. My name is Andrea, and I'm here with,
of course, Andrew.
Mr. Andrew. This is kind of a midweek sneak, I guess you can call it. We had a family emergency, so obviously we usually release our episodes on Sunday night, basically early Monday. But like I said, we had a family emergency, so things kind of, you know, we had to get things situated in our regular everyday life, and so we're getting that taken care of and getting through it. So we're here and we're back on it.
Yeah, we're here to record and to talk about music and records and all that good stuff.
Exactly. So really quick, our Instagram is Just Keep Spinning Podcast, and if you want to send us some beats that you want to feature on the show, or if you're a band and you want to feature your music, you can email us at justkeepspinningpodcast@gmail.com. You can listen to us on Spotify, iTunes. Well, I don't think it's iTunes. It's Apple Podcasts, right?
Yeah, Apple Podcasts, purple icon.
Google Play or Google Podcasts. CastBox, Stitcher, Deezer, pretty much anywhere you can listen to a podcast, we're on there. And if we are not, let us know, and we'll try to get on your preferred platform.
Also, you can follow the link in our on our Instagram page. It'll take you to the Audio Boom, and you can listen there as well.
Yeah, so you can, and you can access that link mobile, like via your cell phone too. It's not just on your desktop, so that's another option as well.
I mean, even if he wants to send you the episodes, so you can download them, just let us know, and we'll actually send you the file. It's kind of it'll be a large file, but we can send it to you.
Yeah, that actually is very possible, and that's something that we could definitely work out. So let me just go ahead and highlight a few events here. So the first event I wanted to highlight is Turnstiles DJ Training and Barbecue, which is going to be at Trill Phoenix. The address is 2501 East Indian School Road, and that's going to be on Sunday, February 3rd from 2 to 5. It's free, and it's all ages, which is pretty cool because, you know, obviously we're all about community here on the podcast, so it's cool that it's open to everyone. And it's going to be hosted by DJ Psychopat and DJ Exist. So Trill, if you've never been there, definitely roll through there. Their specialty is they're a hip-hop shop, definitely. They do have some records. They have graph stuff. They have just a bunch of cool, even like pop culture hip-hop things, like pins, and I think they even have pops, right?
Yeah, they have a whole bunch of stuff like that.
Yeah, clothes, just anything that has to do with hip-hop and yeah, stuff like that. That segment of the culture, so definitely roll through there. Another event I wanted to highlight was First Fridays at Grand Avenue Records. There's going to be in-store with guests Dean DaCosta, Sean Pierce, Steve Crawford, and Blank Rave, and it's actually being hosted by Nocturnal Heat, which is, I believe that it's run by a gentleman, so if I'm wrong, I apologize. His name is Nico, and he does interviews and stuff too, so that's pretty cool. So go ahead and check that out. The Instagram for that is nocturnalheat_AZ, and you can also follow Grand Ave Records. And obviously, you know, we always upload the events on the Instagram in the pictures, so it'll be on there. And Trill's Instagram is Trill, so TRILLPHX, and they actually host like different DJ training events and conjunction with Vader Manor. So we'll put the information out there. The last event I wanted to highlight is our friends of the podcast, Basement Tapes Phoenix. They are doing something a little bit different. They're going to be migrating over to Third Space with their new show called Shades. And it's Vex, Ricky T, and of course, DJ Mike God Complex. And it's going to be the first Saturday of every month. And this Saturday is actually the first Saturday that it'll be Shades, is the debut of Shades. And it's the R&B, Hip Hop, and Soul. Third Space address is 1028 Grand Avenue. And there's no cover. So, I mean, you can't really argue with that. It's going to be three amazing DJs for free.
Yeah, so if you're downtown Phoenix area and you're near Grand Avenue, definitely stop by Third Space and check them out.
Yeah, and the I don't think I gave the address for Grand Avenue Records. It's 1504 Grand Avenue PHX. So the Basement Tapes Instagram is Basement Tapes PHX. Like we said, we'll put all the information out there and tag them so that you guys can easily access this information.
Yeah, just follow us on Instagram and everything will be there with a new post for our episode.
So, Andrew, do you have a weekly Billboard
countdown? We don't. Are we going to do pickups first?
Oh, that's right. I totally left that out.
So, it's been a few weeks since we've done pickups, since we had an interview last week. We actually went to Zia and got some pickups.
Oh, yeah, we did. What did we get?
Jesus Christ. I don't know.
I don't even remember at this point.
But the last pickup we actually did
get. There's some soul comps, right?
Yeah, we got a couple of really great soul comps. But the last pickup we got was actually a clearance pickup at Target. And I know that people were like, oh my God.
Target's the devil.
Target's the devil. Buy everything at a small shop. You know, when something's a good price, I'm going to buy it. Because if it's new and it's on clearance, I'm going to buy that shit. Because that's what I want to do. But yeah, they had, what is it? I can't even think what it is.
It's the Kendrick album.
To Pimp a Butterfly. That's right.
God, I can't talk.
I can't talk either. They had that on clearance at Target, so I picked it up. I hadn't picked it up previously because I'd never seen it used, and I don't want to pay $35 for something new. Like I said,
we're trying to be cost-effective peoples here.
Yeah, so I sound kind of weird, don't I? Do I sound weird?
No, it's just you. You're just in your own head.
Maybe it's just in my headphones. But other than that, you know, everything was, that's pretty much, I got some 45s from online. One of them came in and skipped. I was really upset about it because I was like, that was the reason I bought anything from the store.
And was it because how it was rated?
Yeah, so it was rated at VG Plus, and when it was playing, it was actually sounded really good. It had a little bit of surface noise, but nothing too horrible. And then it got to one point and it skipped. Then I was like,
and
oh.
it skipped on the side that mattered that he like yeah. wanted. Why he
so I was like, okay, well maybe I just need to clean it. So I cleaned it and made sure it was all shiny, and I put it back on. And then it skipped again. I was like, okay, maybe it's just my turntable. Let me adjust the weight. Let me put it at max weight and you know do a couple other adjustments. I put it back on there. Fucking skipped again. I was like, all right, I have to tell this guy.
The thing is, he was getting all upset, which I understand. Like you know, it sucks. I was upset. For myself and for him, because it was something specifically that he wanted. But I had told him, I'm like, okay, then just message the guy. Like, what else are you going to do at this point? But that's the gamble you take, right?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. I mean, that was a gamble I took. But, you know, I reached out to the seller, and they got back to me. And obviously, I didn't get back to him because we had some stuff going on. But I was able to hopefully resolve this issue so that way I can get my money back or just get some credit with him so I can buy some more records from him. But, you know, that was pretty much it. I was pretty bummed about that record.
Yeah, and I just want to say, too, so I know, like, the whole aspect of, like, the big box versus the little guy. So, but I feel like, I mean, it's true with records and stuff, record stores. But I feel like, you know, if you already kind of buy records in a religious manner, you're, like, all about it, you typically don't shop at Target and you won't, like, you're not going to not go to your local record store instead of go to Target. So I feel like Target's kind of like a gateway for some people.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't collect records and you're just interested in it, obviously, we always recommend going to your local record store, but some people get started at Best Buy or Target, or if they're a parent,
Barnes and Noble,
if a parent is, their kid is interested in it, you know, they can go out to these record stores, and, you know, if there's one in your area, you know, by all means, please don't, you know, please go there and support these local businesses. But, like, where we live out in West Phoenix, in Avondale, which is basically West Phoenix.
The Far West Valley.
And we're in Avondale. We're not in Phoenix, but I'm not going to get into it.
Avondale's a suburb of Phoenix.
Yeah, so there's no record stores out here at all. They stop, like, at 19th Avenue, and we are on, like, 115th Avenue. And if you're from the Valley, you know what I'm talking about. So there's no record stores at all. I mean, I think Zia just had to pop up not too long ago, and yeah, they had a good turnout, and they made some, you know, they sold a lot of records because people are dying, you know, it's a desert out here. The last thing we had was Thrifty Joe's, but that closed down.
I don't consider the North Phoenix area or Glendale North like that, the West side. I know technically it is, but I don't. That's Northwest to me. But that was probably the closest further into the avenues, if you want to put it that way, that we had. Because other than that, like Andrew said, we have and the thing is, Thrifty Joe's wasn't even a record store, because there's a difference between a store that has records in it with other media like Bookman's and an actual record store. And I know some people, because the whole stigma with Zia, and everyone thinks Zia is the Big Bad Wolf. They're like, you know, they feel like, well, Z is not a record store. You know, why is records in their name? It's like, because that's what they started as. And, you know, obviously the popularity of music, media, and records, and, you know, up and down different trends and just technology changes things. So, you know, they had to figure out a way probably how to, this is all my based off my assumption, so I could be wrong. But to me, it's a no-brainer when you look at, you know, the fact that there was a drastic drop in people buying records. They had to figure out probably a different business model to keep them afloat and be able to still have the record. So there's definitely room for, to me, like places like Target and Barnes and Noble and stuff, they're gateway places to me. And you'd be surprised how sometimes you can find deals like on certain things, and especially when they put them on clearance because they aren't selling. So you know, don't be afraid to look through. There might not be something in there you really want, but you never know what you're going to find in there.
Yeah, and so and what drew me to that as even more that record itself was because I had talked to Ken, DJ My God Complex, and he had told me I had to listen to this record. And I had listened to this record several times, and I wasn't really the biggest fan of it. And he told me I have to go back and listen to it again and again and again until, like, I really got it. So, you know, shout out to him, because I went, so I made the effort, I bought it, so I'll have to sit down and listen to it again with a different ear, maybe.
Yeah, like we've had an episode before, I think it was the Infinite Content one, that was the name of the episode, I can't remember what number it was, but we talked about that, how your, and Ken has talked about it himself on here, how your perception can change of something, like maybe you weren't a fan of it before, maybe you're just like, it's not bad, but it's not for me, and sometimes where you're at in your life can influence how you view, you know, some type of, whether it's art, whether it's like a visual aspect, or music, a musical aspect, so it's always interesting to go back and do like retrospectives. That's what I do sometimes with albums that are like, I didn't really care for that, and I'll go back and listen. And sometimes, yeah, I have that point of view where I'm like, what was I thinking? Why didn't I like that? It was amazing.
Happens to me all the time. All right, so you want to do this Billboard?
Yes.
All right, pick a year.
1973.
All right, so Billboard Hot 100, 1973, January 30th, is which is the day we're recording this on. Let's see what it is. It's loading. Still loading.
It's taking just a minute.
Just a moment. So, number 10, we ready? Lady Sings the Blues soundtrack. That's all it says.
I don't know that
at all. I don't know what that is. Number 9, The Moody Blues 7th, I don't know how to spell this word.
Is it Sojourner?
Sojourner, yeah. That's exactly what it is. Number 8, James Taylor, One Man Man. Number 7, Jethro Tull, Living with the Past. Number 6, Neil Diamond, Hot August Night. Number 5, Various Artist, Tommy. I guess the Various Artist, that's all it says.
I thought it was, that's the soundtrack, no?
I'm not completely sure. Number 4, Carole King, Rhymes and Reasons. Number 3, Stevie Wonder, Talking Book. Number 2, War, The World is a Ghetto. And number 1, you have any guess?
Number 1, so 70s was the era of the singer-songwriter. Correct? Obviously there was dance. So 73, so it's early 70s, not later.
Yeah, late 70s is more disco.
Well, funk disco.
Funk disco.
I honestly have no clue.
Carly Simon, No Secrets.
Oh my god, I was gonna say Carly Simon, but I was like, no.
But you didn't.
I'm wrong. I hate myself. I'm like, I don't know that song.
Okay. It spent 4 weeks at number one, 9 weeks on the charts in 1973. So there is your on this day in music, or this on, yeah.
Yeah, on this day, 1973.
Yeah.
The top
10
songs.
So we're just Billboard Hot 100.
Yes, so thank you to Andrew for that segment. That's always one of my favorite segments. I love it. And if you heard a little beeping sound, that was my work computer going wackadoodle. I don't know why.
Wackadoodle.
So I apologize about that. Remember, we're just a little home project here. So since we don't have a guest, we usually record at home when we don't have one. So just wanted to get into talking about a few things that we've gotten to do the past few weekends that I think I just touched on a little bit, but not too much on the earlier episode. So It feels like forever ago, but it was last week, wasn't it, that we saw D-Gents and DJ Herm? Was it that last Friday or the Friday before?
That was 2 weeks ago.
That was 2 weeks. I don't know. Time goes by so quickly, it's hard to tell sometimes. But we went to Valley Bar because, of course, we wanted to see D-Gents because he always puts on a great show. And also because DJ Herm was down from Tucson. And I've been following, not just me, but Andrew and I have both separately been following DJ Herm for a few years now, right?
Yeah, we've been following him.
Yeah, and I had some, he makes these really cool patches and shirts and actually pins too. And they say LDJ and LaDJ.
Yeah.
So they look like, the design is like Loteria cards, but it's like there's a crate going, or a hand going into the crate, like grabbing a record. So it's really cool. And he always posts his own, like he calls them Herm's Refried, which are the like the mixes and blends that he makes, and he always comes up with some pretty interesting stuff. So anyhow, it was like extra incentive for us to go out there to Valley Bar. So we went out there, and it was such a great show.
Yeah, D-Gents was out there tearing it up. D-Gents is probably one of the better DJs here in the Valley.
Yeah, one of the best DJs, and he doesn't just play music, like he puts on a show.
Yeah, so you know, you always want to go when you go to any type of event, you really want to be, I guess you can say, you want to be entertained. But I really it's really, really nice to see someone really enjoy playing music and sharing the music. And I feel that D-Gents really, really, really exemplifies, is an extraordinary example of someone who just loves music and who loves sharing music.
I would say from the times that we've seen him DJ over the years, and his full DJ name is actually D-Gentrification, which is stupid clever. I'll just say that. But everybody calls him for short, you know, with his DJ name by D-Gents. But he, like Andrew said, I would just say he just loves sounds, not even just music. He incorporates so much crazy stuff into a set. And DJ Herm had posted something too, saying that he likes getting the privilege to play with D-Gents because he knows that's when he can pull out like the crazy stuff and just stuff that he normally doesn't get to play to crowds, because when D-Gentrification already has his following. He's had it for some time. So he's known for just how intricate and elaborate, and just you're going to not be able to recognize probably most of the stuff that he's playing. So his audience is really open-minded. So DJ Herm says he has fun every single time he plays with him. And you can just see, like Andrew said, just that he's not just playing music, he's putting on a show. And it's like, to me, that's like true DJing. Everybody there in the crowd was having a good time. I don't know. It just felt like a positive experience, and definitely somewhere to me, if like someone was coming in town and you wanted to take them to a night and D-Gentrification was playing, I would say take them there.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
So another event actually that was the following day that we went to, and I had mentioned it on the episode last week, was it was Loose Joints again. We were back at Valley Bar. They were probably like, what the hell is we'll doing here again?
Round two
fight. So we were there, and it was Loose Joints. So it was the two residences, which are obviously Coco and Santos, and they always bring it. They're always good. So I think, from what I gather from the times that we've both gone to Loose Joints over the years, I guess you can say now, it's always like if there's a resident, it's like, if there's a guest, it's like the residents will play and then the guests will play for like an hour and the residents will wrap it up. But Dayla, once she got on the tables, she did not get off.
Tore that shit up.
No, she closed it down. So we got there early, like before technically the doors had even opened to the actual venue part where the DJing is. Because there's the Rose Room and then there's the main room. So obviously Loose Joints is in the main room. So they opened the doors and we ended up, you know, going in there just waiting for the show to start. And of course, obviously, eventually people started piling in. So I would say, how long do you think Coco and Santos played?
They played for like an hour and a half.
Yeah. And then Dayla got on and I was like, oh, cool. You know, come and support Dayla. I want to see her play. And I already know she's going to tear it up. But I don't know, that like the crowd was just too, the crowd was just vibing with her so good, and you could tell too, she was enjoying herself, Coco was enjoying himself, everybody there, and then Santos was giving us a little show.
Yeah, it was a really, really good show. It was a really good party. They put a good party on that day. We actually left a little early.
It was like literally 15 minutes.
Yeah, but they put a good party on.
So, but again, that was another night where I felt like where I was watching these DJs, and especially because Dayla, because she was on the tables for the majority of the time, and seeing those back-to-back, those experiences with like Jensen Herm and then Dayla, Coco, and Santos and stuff like that. It's like, to me, that's like, it gives me that renewed sense of, like, excitement. Like, and not that I don't get excited, because I do, but like I said, you know, you encounter things that feel discouraging, and sometimes I can get in my own head about things, and just seeing that and seeing how much fun they have and how the crowd responds to them and just everything, it just makes you, I don't know, appreciate, like, what actually true DJing is. Because that is, I feel like, the real form of DJing, not just, I'm going to put on a song and I'm going to play it.
Yeah, I mean, like we always say, we've said several times on this podcast, we are not DJs at all. I guess you can say we're track selectors. We like to play music and share music with people. But as far as DJs are concerned, we are not. I mean, we maybe one day we'll aspire to be better and maybe get to that level. But as of right now, from my personal stance, we are not.
Yeah, I don't consider us DJs either, because I feel like that's a title that needs to be earned. I consider us track selectors. I do try to work on, like, mixing and blending. You know, it takes time, and I work on it and stuff like that. So, but until I can, to me, perfectly, I want to say perfectly, because there's always going to be, you can always be better. But I feel like I still have a long ways to go before I actually call myself that. Yeah, but it was just really nice seeing that, and it just felt really good, and I felt really happy, and I didn't even feel that tired, probably because that was the insanity.
Yeah, we went and grabbed some tea beforehand from Cha-Cha's Tea House. Tea Lounge, excuse me. And they had some crazy tea that kept us up, and she said it was going to be the strongest tea, and it was 4 a.m. tea, so we dubbed that tea Insanity. We don't know if she's using it, but we definitely call it Insanity.
I don't know. So if you do go into Cha-Cha's Tea Lounge, which is off Grand Avenue, so it's not, it's actually right down the way from Grand Avenue Records and just across the way from Third Space. But if you do go in there, request the Insanity, and if Ashley's behind the counter, she'll know what you're talking about. It's, but it was nice, though, what Andrew and I were talking about, too. So we had the tea, right? And we're like, oh, let's see if this works. You know, maybe work a little. It actually did work. Like, it worked tonight. It wasn't even tired. Like I said, it was probably, like, the good vibes mixed with the insanity. So, I don't know. But, yeah, hit up Cha-Cha's, too. I don't know if I talked about that on an episode, how I played it.
Yeah, we've been really, other than, like I said, us being a few days late, we've been really busy just doing stuff in general. We actually had, Dre had an event at, Cha-Cha's Tea Lounge, what is this? That was 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, so it was Crate Creeper event, so it was Edna and I, so we both played there, and it was for the Desert Sun clothing swap, and I think I highlighted it and said we were going to be there, but I didn't actually fully talk about it, so that was another thing, another event that I ended up playing that was super fun and cool, and, getting to play out there, kind of being out on the street more on Grand Avenue was really interesting. Like I said, it was just a lot of fun, and everybody enjoyed the music, so that was great. It's always nice, you know, if you see someone playing music, or if someone like made a playlist, because that's I know a thing for parties is that people will make playlists, like they'll curate the playlist and they'll put it on like a Bluetooth speaker or whatever for everybody to hear. You know, don't be shy to give props and say, hey, I liked that song, or I liked your playlist. Your selections were really cool, because it helps people and encourages them and wants them to share music more. So don't be afraid if someone is track selecting or DJing or whatever to compliment them. And hey, if there's a tip jar, guess what? Slip a dollar or something in there.
Yeah, for sure. So, then what do we do?
So another thing that we were doing was we had an event.
Yes, we played at Way Out Here on the West Side at Ground Control in Litchfield.
Yeah, so that was actually really, really fun.
Yeah, it was really fun. It was a full house pretty much the whole entire night. Really, really good vibes. Played a lot of different music. We don't limit ourselves there. We just play pretty much... It's open format. I mean, obviously, we kind of stay with the same type of vibe. Or if we're switching formats, we stay with that format and then move back into something else. We try to keep it, obviously, within our interests. We're not, you know, playing death metal or any shit like that. But, you know, we really had a really, really good time. And Ground Control welcomed us and let us do our thing. And we really enjoyed it. And so we have a little residency there right now. So we're really excited for that.
Yeah, so it's actually every other Saturday. So the first event was last Saturday. So, which was, I can't remember what the date was last Saturday, but, so, like I said, and when we have our event, obviously we'll more than likely be highlighted on here because it's a podcast event type thing. So, yeah, if you see us out there, come tell us hi, you know, don't be shy to say what's up and talk to us. We're always willing to talk to people and to thank you in person for supporting us because we really appreciate all the support.
Exactly. Actually, we are playing, let's see, let me open my calendar real fast, on the February 9th. They're actually have Dark Sky Brewing from up Flagstaff there is going to be there, so they're really excited. And we're really excited to play there. So, you know, if you're on the west side, we'll be obviously plugging that for next week's episode. We will be having an episode next week as well. So, you know, like I said, if you're out there, come say hi.
And... I love the flyer that Andrew made for that event, the Tapping Out one. It was super cool. So it was his concept for the flyer because Ground Control is obviously, you know, Ground Control. So airplanes and stuff like that. So he came up with the concept for the flyer and he executed it. And I thought it was really cool. So thank you, Andrew, for making the flyer.
Yeah, for sure. You know, what else we got going?
So yesterday, like I said, we've just been busy... just in our actual personal lives outside of this and just getting events that have been organized that we're a part of and we're happy to be a part of. Just kind of recapping all that. But yesterday and the day before, so Monday and Tuesday, which were what days? 24th and 25th? Or?
The 29th and...
30th.
Wait, no. 28th, 29th.
28th and 29th. So I had highlighted this event months ago that I said I wanted to go to. And we both ended up making it out. So the first night, it was the band Thursday, and the first night was Full Collapse, and the second night was World of Time. So it was pretty interesting to do. I personally have seen other bands play like an album from front to back because it was basically like an anniversary type show. The first time that Thursday toured for Full Collapse, like the anniversary, and I think it was the 10-year of it, I went to that show, and it was actually at the Marquee. I can't even tell you how many years ago that was. It feels like forever ago, but it was probably about 10 years, because you were in school. You weren't here, right?
Yes, I was in school.
Yeah, so it was literally almost about 10 years ago, and I remember Jeff Rickley, which is the lead singer of Thursday, he got on the mic and said, you know, we didn't really think anybody would care for us to do like a tour like this. So one of the guys in Under Oath, who they were touring with at that time, encouraged him and said, like, this is a really important album to me and it helped shape me and like push me in the right direction to pursue my passion. Can you please do this? Like, it's a favor to me. And they're just like, sure, why not? So the first time that they toured for Full Collapse, that I guess was why, that's one of the reasons that they gave. And that, I would say this time was so much better because the first time, so here's the thing about Thursday. So Thursday is lumped in and is one of those, what would be considered a post-hardcore band. Some people called them emo, which I don't consider them at all, but they were lumped in with the likes of like Taking Back Sunday, Brand New, Thrice, and to me, those bands don't sound anything alike, but that's the era that they came up in.
Yeah, they definitely did come in that era. Probably, I believe that the that came out in 2002, Full Collapse, and War All Time came out in 2003.
Yeah, so I have a question for Andrew really quick. So did Thursday inspire the Screaming Babies, your band?
Yes, they were a part of that inspiration. More on my side, some of the other members of my Screaming Babies band did not have any weren't a big fan of Thursday, but I always enjoyed their music because I felt like it was different. It was a little bit different from what
the rest of the pack
was doing lyrically, what he was talking about. You know, you would want to think that it's maybe a metaphor for something, but he's not. It's not a metaphor for something. He's really talking about real shit.
Yeah, so, and we're going to get back to that, so just a second, Andrew. But what was really interesting be just the different energies and vibes. So when the first tour of the first 10-year whatever ago tour, when Full Collapse, they first toured to do Full Collapse for the anniversary show, like I said, it was a bigger venue. And the thing about Thursday, every time I've seen them, they always say, "We really didn't want to come here," and I can't blame them, especially us being out there now. Like, we see how people are and the way they respond, and there's a reason why Tucson bands have a better, I don't want to say, like, Tucson has a better reputation when it comes to live anything, whether it's DJ events or live bands playing. They love rolling through Tucson and even sometimes Yuma more than Phoenix and Tempe and like all the burb areas over here in the major Phoenix metro area, because places like those, they understand the concept, like we always say on the podcast, of community, of coming to show up, of supporting, of when you're there, don't just stand there and talk to everybody while the damn band's playing. Not just standing there with your drink, not caring. I understand dancing isn't for everyone, and that's fine. But, you know, show some little movement, some vibe, like nod your head, tap your foot, something. Like,
move, you know, back and forth.
Yeah, move back and forth, sing along. It's just like, I don't know what it is, but people in Phoenix, are just, you know, even Flagstaff is known. I remember back in the days during the old band days where, you know, people going into like those alternative type scenes and seeing these bands was a big thing. Bands loved going to Flagstaff, Prescott. I think more Flag than Prescott, because the Prescott kids would travel to Flag for shows, but because they were known for their energy and their vibe, and they would always be like, yeah, Phoenix. And I can't blame them. I totally see why. So, but then I see people like, and nothing against them, if you're a fan, like Travis Scott, people show up for these big names that are already huge, but they don't want to show up for, you know, the smaller guys. So that, like I said, it was interesting, and he mentioned that during this show as well, right?
Yeah, he mentions it every time I've seen him. He always mentions like that he sees Phoenix on his booking list, and he's like, "Oh, that show is gonna suck because people in Phoenix never show up,
or they just stand there."
Yeah, where they just stand there. They're just not into it. And you know, you don't need to dance or mosh or whatever the fuck it is.
Hardcore. You don't need to be picking up pennies and just windmilling it up.
Yeah, you just can enjoy the music and sing along, like Drea said, and just enjoy it and be a part of it and enjoy the experience. One thing I did notice about this show is that the first night I seen a whole bunch of cell phones in the air, a shitload of cell phones in the air.
Yeah, I had to tell I want to say gentleman, but he was obviously way younger than me. So I just kind of, but I was polite about it. Like I said, I wasn't obnoxious, and I just tapped the kid on the shoulder. I was like, "Hey, you know, I'm a pretty short person." I'm like, he was kind of short too, actually, though, but still, he was taller than me. And I was just like, "Hey, I can't see." Like, he recorded the beginning, which is Understanding a Car Crash, the first song.
Yeah.
And then I told myself, all right, maybe he just wants to get this song, because this was like their big, you know, their big hit. So I was like, okay, maybe he just wants to record this song. But then he kept recording, and I was like, I am not going to cheapen my experience because this kid wants to sit here and live it through his screen. And honestly, you know what I thought of? Dario.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about that with Dario, about people just living through their screens. And are you really gonna, what, are you just gonna post that on Instagram? Are you gonna go back and ever watch that fucking video again? I have a video on my phone still, probably. I think it's a Coheed video. I didn't even know it was on there until I went through, like, was going through pictures. I was like, oh yeah, I have a video on here. Wait, it sounds like shit. Let me just go ahead and delete it, because I never even posted it. But what I noticed, what I was saying, was that I noticed the second night, I didn't see nearly as many cell phones.
Yeah, you're correct. And I noticed that as well. I made the same observation, because the first night, I think it was just a lot of like nostalgia, I guess you can say. And not that we're all the time doesn't give people nostalgia, but Full Collapse, it was a landmark album during what I guess you can now consider like a special time. And to me, I don't consider myself like a nostalgic person, because there's people out there that love nostalgia and they live for the nostalgia. I'm not that type. I can revisit things, but I'm not the type to where I sit there and I'm like, I wish I could go back. And like, that's not me. I'm more of like a move forward type person. And I think Andrew is too. He's not really like a stuck in the past type of dude.
I don't say, if I can go back one day in high school.
Yeah, because we've heard people say that, but I would never want to go back to high school ever. Never want to live that shit. But yeah, so anyhow, it was a really good time. The crowd was super responsive, which was nice to see. Everybody was singing along, actually knew the lyrics. There were some people, some little hardcore dancers there. That was cool. Haven't seen that in a minute.
Yeah, they had the opening band was Vane, was the name of them. And they were cool. I mean, they just reminded me of a different band, but they were cool.
Andrew just felt like they were Norma Jean-esque.
Yeah, they sounded, the singer sounded identical to Norma Jean.
And I think it was
but you effects, actually picked up right? a record there.
Oh, I did. That's right. So Andrew, so shout out to my spouse slash co-host. He spoiled me a little bit because our anniversary is coming up, our dating anniversary. And he bought me, I got a mug, I got a t-shirt, and I got a signed record. So we were trying to get the tape, the Full Collapse tape, but it didn't work out because they just didn't have it anymore.
That's for the California dates, was complete bullshit.
We're a little sour, so it's all right. But, and I kind of regret, and I'm going to say it now and you're going to hate me, but I regret not pulling the trigger on the hoodie.
It's okay. You always can get the hoodies are few and far between.
I know, but I'm a small person and they had like small person size there.
Anywho.
But yeah, so Andrew's saying, so the War All the Time show, I would say a little bit different vibe, but still good energy, great people, less cell phones. I did see the cell phone kid there, and he didn't record either. I noticed that because he was like a few people down from me because we were like right up against the barricade. And this is at Crescent, excuse me. So it was a pretty intimate show and there was people sitting on the bleachers. I don't think it sold out. But yeah, like he said, the band Vane, I thought it was really cool seeing them. They were a lot younger than us. So I always give mad respect to anybody who's out there doing their thing and pursuing their dream. And I feel like Thursday was just a little bit ahead of their time content wise. With a lot of the subjects they talk about, you know, the genocide of indigenous people, sexism, homophobia, all that kind of stuff. So I feel like they were just ahead of the curve content wise. And that's why they couldn't carry a lot of the audience with them, because sometimes people were just in it because it sounded loud, which is fine if that's what you're into and that's why you like things. But yeah, so if you don't know who the band Thursday is, or if you only know them from Full Collapse and you didn't really listen to the rest of the catalog after War All the Time, there's so many good things and good tracks in there. If you want any suggestions, you can DM me and I'll give you suggestions, because I know their discography and it's so good. And I felt like it was a band that I really was able to grow with. And I got a little emotional during both of the shows just because it brought back so many memories, so many good memories, so many horrific bad memories. But listening to those two albums really helped get me through those times and all the other music that they've made. So thank you, Thursday, for being awesome. And thank you to Tucker for being a crazy-ass drummer.
Yes, definitely a crazy-ass drummer.
Andrew was checking him out.
Yeah, I was like, look at that guy go.
Yeah, and of course, like a typical drummer fashion, didn't have a shirt on.
He has to take his shirt off.
I guess it's a drummer thing, right?
It's always the encore. They always take their shirts off. Somebody has to take their shirts off in an encore.
And then he was wearing a vest with no shirt under. So I thought that was interesting, too.
Hey,
but whatever. Like a denim vest, not just like a regular like vest.
Right, you know, sometimes you gotta get those arms free. You gotta breathe.
I'm not hating. It's probably mad cardio, you know, hitting them sticks.
Hitting them skins.
Hitting the scale. Wow. Okay. You're gonna say slapping the bass next.
Slapping the bass next, yes.
So that was another event that we went to, and that's pretty much it, I guess. Then the only last thing I did want to touch on was somebody in our community, and her DJ name is La Dama, but her name is Bree, and she's was just diagnosed with cancer. So, which is really, it just, when I saw the news of it, I could not believe it. It just made me just really feel for her and her children and her family and the community that she's a part of, because she's in our community. You know, she likes to play records. Obviously, I said that's her DJ name is La Dama, and I know she is a strong lover of music. So we obviously interviewed her last week for the Rose Wax Vinyl Club episode, because that's the club she's in, the Ladies Record Club. Excuse me. So please send your prayers, good vibes, or whatever it is that you believe in. If you believe in any type of higher power or anything like that, please send them her way. There's going to be a benefit show for her. I believe the tentative date is February 24th, and everything's to be determined. So once I get the information, I will send it out there. If you are like a vendor or anything like that, like I said, we're trying to put together the fundraiser benefit show. If you want to donate some items that will be included in a silent auction, please contact us, because I am one of the people trying to help organize this event. And so just please come out for, you know, show that we are a community and that we can help each other, and putting all the fucking bullshit and stupid things aside that people feel like they have their opinions on, or they think they know and they don't, and stuff like that. So just please just show up, and even if you just want to show up to see what's going on, because like I said, we're in the middle of getting the final touches on everything together. But I would really like your guys' support. And on the Rose Wax Vinyl Club Instagram, there's a GoFundMe on there as well.
Yeah, for sure. Come out. Like Joy said, put the bullshit aside. When it all comes down to it, we're all human beings, and we're all just trying to be normal people who do this. There is obviously people out here who don't like us, who don't like them, and whoever is out there. But, you know, we need to put all that bullshit aside so that we all support one another. And we are actively trying to create bridges and, you know, do what we need to do to help people and to get recognized, and, you know, not have to be put on by people or do other things like that.
Yeah, it's for us to create our own opportunities, and because we are afforded these opportunities that we're given by some other people, you know, it's our duty and our responsibility to not close the door behind us, but to leave it open for others in any type of situation, whether, you know, it's helping others in even this aspect of, you know, she needs our care and love, attention and support, and we're here to offer it for her. So like I said, once I get more details, I'll pass it on to you. And I guess that's pretty much it. One more thing, actually, I wanted to shout out Galeana, which is located inside of the McDowell Marketplace, which is they specifically share their space with Mucho Mas, which is part of Crafty Chica Studio. Like, they, I guess you can say, cut it in half. I can't think of the words right now, but it's also where the Crate Keepers usually have their first Friday residence. So we're not doing it this month, which is cool because we get a little break. It's at Palabras, but we bought some sage, so we're going to bless our tables with that.
Yeah, we'll be blessing some stuff with some sage pretty soon here. Yeah. Also, shout out to Soul Syndicate, Mike.
Oh, shoot, yes.
I promised I would shout you out, and so I am doing that now. Really appreciate anybody for listening. Sorry, it wasn't the most exciting episode, but you know, we always want to put out something for you guys to listen to, to hear us and see what we're going on live. If you have any suggestions for us or ideas for us to talk about, we obviously DM us on our Instagram and or email us. We're always welcome to open suggestions as well.
Yeah, this, like we said, this week was a little bit different just because we had a lot of really personal things going on. So that's, you know, we're just trying to wrap it up here and remain consistent, because consistency is key. That's what I always say. And we have a lot more things in the works for you guys. I cannot talk, as you can tell. So it's getting a little late. And I just want to say thank you for listening. Again, we are available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher. Subscribe, rate, and review. Please, you have no idea how much that does help. You know, drop us a line. Don't forget to DM us. Our Instagram is Just Keep Spinning Podcast. Our email is justkeepspinningpodcast@gmail.com. And don't stop digging and just keep spinning.
Thanks, guys.